Yeah.
Meow.
Woof.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. This is Mr. Michael Dean, and who we got on the other end of the line there?
This is Ben Stone in Louisiana now.
The bad Quaker. You just never stop moving. You're like a shark, man. You got to keep moving or you die.
Yeah, moving targets hard to hit.
Yeah, you and your wife drive around the country in a big van solving mysteries.
With a dog.
With a dog. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're like a Scooby-Doo, man. What's your little dog's name?
Nikki.
Curse that little dog. No, I love that little dog. Little dog's great. Because nobody has cats at Porkfest, and I can feel like I'm holding a cat when I'm hanging out with your dog, Nikki.
Yeah. It's so little. Yep.
Yeah. So, how's the road treating you? How's your rootless existence?
I really love living on the road. We live in our RV. We have a nice big Class A comfortable RV, and it's very nice. We move from place to place and just follow the seasons. It's really wonderful. We went through Mississippi yesterday, and we actually drove through the broadcast area of one of the radio stations that carries our show, WPBQ, 1240 AM in Jackson, Mississippi. That was a pleasure to listen to the radio there. I got to listen to about an hour of it as we passed through. So the Alex Jones Show was on, so we got to listen to that.
Nice.
But I really like the traveling and staying on the road. There's an old saying about fishing. The worst day fishing is better than the best day at work. And it's kind of like that being on the road. You know, we had a really bad day yesterday. We lost a tire. We had some damage to the vehicle that we tow. And as bad as all that was, which it wasn't that bad because it just cost money. Nobody was hurt. But as bad as all that was, the worst day on the road is still better than the best day at a job.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've had a good week, too. I'm still working on this how to podcast video, which, you know, doesn't sound groundbreaking, but it is for me. And it will be for a lot of people. It's going to be about an hour and a half long. I could break it up into a series, but I don't know. I just kind of want to drop it in one place, you know, partially because of portability. Like, literally, you know, if somebody finds one video of it, I want them to be able to find the whole thing and not have to go looking for other stuff. In the same way with how we share our things on the torrents, mm-hmm. You know, so they're around in perpetuity. And so I finished the first rough final draft of it and had about 10 people look at it and give me feedback. And now I'm going through and addressing all that. I'm fiend sourcing this video. So,
and I was one of those people. I've seen it and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good video.
Yep. And you actually get to see me talking on a mic in it, which nobody's ever seen before. I mean, it's not groundbreaking, and I'm not, oh, the camera loves me. No, I'm just some guy yakking into a mic. But it's not like I try to maintain an air of mystery. I just never have any interest in setting up a camera when I'm doing a show. A lot of people these days seem to be very into it. I think it's vanity. They think it shows their personality more. I feel like your voice shows your personality, and who wants to see somebody talking into a mic or, you know, looking at their computer? It's about, it reminds me of DJ competition, some DJ, like electronic DJ, computer DJing competitions now. I've heard people review them and say, like, the music was amazing, but watching it was on stage was like watching a couple guys check their email for an hour.
You know, the first radio personality that I saw doing that, I can't remember the guy's name. He wore a cowboy hat and was on CNN for a while. And then I think Rush Limbaugh was the second one that in the mid-90s, he had a TV show that was just basically him on the radio.
Yeah.
And it this trying like to watch that
the
on
internet,
TV
before the internet, right?
Yeah, exactly. And trying to watch that on TV of Rush just sitting there talking to a microphone, it was boring. It was worse than radio. You know,
it's Don Imus you're thinking of with the cowboy.
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah, yeah. That's the
Don Imus kind of looks like me. if I were like 20 years older and kind of rode hard and put away wet. You know, we both look like we could be Tom Petty's retarded cousin or something. Yeah.
You're not supposed to say retarded cousin on the radio.
Sir, I resemble that remark. I have a retarded cousin. Actually, I have a cousin that's, well, I won't say that, but the reason I go by Michael and will not accept being called Mike is because when I was a kid, I had a cousin named Mike who was not very smart, and they called him Mike and me Michael to be able to keep us apart, because we were, or, you know, to identify us properly, because we hung out a lot together. And, you know, if they were calling one of us or the other, he was Mike and I was Michael. So I always assumed Mike is someone who's not as smart as me. I think it's Latin for not as smart as thou. Did you know that a lot of the silly, and we're going to get into why Obama is a socialist, a liar, and his feet stink. Don't worry, nation. We'll get to that. Did you know that a lot of the silly rules for English are not really rules, and there's no reason to follow them? They've actually been called fetishes. One is that you can't end a sentence with a preposition. That was drilled into my head by teachers as a kid. Like, you know, they made me feel bad because I naturally wanted to do that. Like, you know, walk in a room and say, "Hey, what are you people talking about?" You know, or, you know, you're going somewhere. I can't do it right now. Anyway, but I did one. I gave one example. Can you give another example?
I was just trying to think of one and my brain went blank. But I'll tell you, when I'm writing and I write a sentence that ends like that, it looks funny to me. And I know why. It's because I've been taught that. And there's nothing, and a lot of times there's no other way to write the sentence what you want it to say.
Well, or then you end up with those constructs like, "This is the sort of English up with which I will not put," which has been attributed to Winston Churchill, but that's incorrect. And then you end up with that, or you end up with things that sound like Yoda from Star Wars, like, paid for the house had not been, so they had to sell it, you know, which is technically not incorrect English, but nobody's going to take you seriously if you do that. So basically that rule of you never end a sentence with a preposition comes from, people in the 17th century trying to put Latin rules on English.
And it's square.
English isn't Latin. And it, you know, it's basically people who grew up learning Latin as a second language, as a second dead language, in addition to old English, which is probably a dead language even when it was being spoken. And just trying to formalize English with the rules of another language which they consider to be a perfect language. One of the real sufferers of this was the guy who made all the dictionaries, Noah Webster.
Webster, yeah.
And he put it as a rule in his book on grammar and in his dictionaries, and teachers believed it. And this goes back to the fallacy of appeal to authority of, well, someone is a known publisher of books, he must be smart. And never really examining it. And like literally like kids have had their knuckles wrapped and been slapped around by teachers for doing something that's natural and not wrong. And I think this would extend to a lot of other things if we're going to have a discussion about nannyism and slapping knuckles for doing things that are wrong, that are not wrong and are natural. What do you think, Ben?
I think there ain't nothing wrong with just using English any way you want. How's that sound?
Yeah.
My grandmother would have gotten very upset hearing me say ain't, which is odd because she was born and spent almost her entire life in Appalachia in rural eastern Kentucky. And yet she was very particular about using, like, saying the instead of the. She would be offended at one of her children or grandchildren saying the, because she said that sounded lazy, that you should always say the.
Yeah, my mother did that too. It reminds me of the joke. A snobby English teacher was sitting in an Atlanta airport coffee shop waiting for her flight back to Connecticut when a friendly Southern belle sat down next to her and said, "Where are y'all going to?" Turning her nose in the air, the snob replied, "I don't answer people who end their sentences with prepositions." The Southern belle thought for a moment and tried again. "Where are y'all going to, B?" I can't say the word on the air, but yeah, that's pretty funny. And, you know, there, she corrected it to make it presentable for the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court.
So since I did mention WPBQ that we're on live in Mississippi, then it's okay for us to sort of bash Yankees, right? You being a Yankee originally, we can do that, right?
You know, I don't buy that, and maybe people from the South would say that. I lived in Virginia longer than I lived in New York State, and I was born in New York State. You know how that lower part of Pennsylvania between Philly and Pittsburgh is referred to as Pennsyltucky?
Yeah.
Because it's not much like Pennsylvania and a lot more like Pennsyltucky. The rural county, the westernmost county of New York State that I grew up in, Chautauqua County, might as well be Alabama York. I mean, it is pretty rural, and you know, everyone had a shotgun rack in their truck when I was a kid. And I mean, I got out because I could read, basically. And I'm not saying anything bad about the South. I'm saying that upstate New York, that county, is possibly far more backward than even parts of Appalachia. I couldn't wait to get out. I got out and moved to Virginia because it was a large step up. Put it that way. As soon as I finished my flunking out of my second year of community college, because I was too smart to learn there.
You know, my wife and I in the last couple of years have traveled and camped all over the state of New York, and I have to agree, western upper New York and the western half specifically is, I think almost anyone from the South would feel very comfortable there. It's a very down home, the people are very friendly, everything is very local. It's very much it's more like the South than, say,
Atlanta.
Yeah, in many ways. Atlanta is a rough town. If you get off the freeway into the wrong areas of Atlanta, you will be very uncomfortable, and it has nothing to do with race. It's because the people there seem very angry.
Well, I don't know. You saw it differently than I did. I'll say this. I've traveled all over the world. There are five times I've nearly been killed, and four of them were in New York State.
Wow.
For not doing anything wrong. All right, we'll be back after this trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Michael W. Dean?
I'm good. So we went to the break with me saying that five times in my life when I've come close to being killed, four of them were in New York State. The other one was in Louisiana, where you are. You've been shot a few times, haven't you?
Yeah. Five times a gun has been drawn on me, four times the trigger was pulled, three times the gun fired, and twice I've been hit. And each of those are separate incidences. So I've actually been, one of the times that I was shot in the chest, and they probably put about, I'm going to make a conservative effort and say 30 rounds through the trailer that I was living in at the time. And I was shot through the door and then into my chest.
Wow.
That was a fun time. And then the people that were there, it was like me and my roommate, and we were primarily the renters of the mobile home unit. And then we had another roommate living with us to help out with rent, but he was unofficial. And then there were two girls there at the time. And I couldn't get anybody to pull the bullet out for me. It was lodged in my sternum, and none of them had whatever it takes to you know, wipe the blood and pull the bullet out. So I had to stand in the mirror with a set of forceps and actually keep mopping it as I pulled the bullet, as I pulled the 22 round out of my sternum.
I would do that for you, Ben. I would find whatever it took to pull a bullet out of you. Although I would probably have a discussion with you and ask if you think pulling it out is really the best idea. It'd be a very quick discussion, but was it the best idea?
It was, because it hurt really bad. It had cracked the sternum and it was lodged in the crack. And
did it hurt less after it was taken out?
Yeah. It was. I could breathe.
Do you think if it hadn't gone through a door, it would have killed you? Do you think that slowed it down enough?
I think so. I think in all likelihood, a 22 hitting you directly in the sternum at about 20 yards range, I think it would go through. I don't know if it would kill me or not. It was roughly in the area of my heart, but I don't know if it actually would have, you know, penetrated the heart. But the 22 is what almost took out Ronald Reagan back in the day.
Yeah, it was, and it was a weird 22. It was like an exploding 22, but it didn't explode.
That's what they claimed.
Incendiary. It was a
It has a little charge in there that causes it to rapidly open. It doesn't cause it to fragment. But the media likes to embellish these things dramatically. There was a odd. We won't get into a big conspiracy thing here, but there's an odd thing about that bullet. It was designed to rapidly open and expand to its maximum amount on contact. And according to the official story, before it hit Reagan, it hit the car. It hit his limousine, slid down the fender of the car, went between the door and the fender, then hit Reagan under his arm and got almost to his heart before it stopped.
It was a magic bullet.
It was very much a magic bullet.
Yeah, magic bullets are what always shoot presidents. I think you could go into a gun shop and say, "Do you have magic bullets?"
And they'll immediately turn you into the Secret Service.
I'm sure they would. Yeah. Speaking of the Secret Service, I'm watching the television show House of Cards, the Netflix produced show again. That is an amazing show. I got to say, there are three shows that I'm glad I lived long enough to see because they're the greatest TV shows ever. It's Breaking Bad, House of Cards, and The Wire. Have you seen all three of those?
I've only seen Breaking Bad, and I really enjoyed it a lot.
The funny thing is, Breaking Bad has something for everybody because you can be a no-government man like me and watch it and go, that's probably exactly how politics work, and it's horrible. I mean, basically, like, the tagline of it is, he's bad for the greater good. And I look at that as like irony, like, yeah, and that's why he's horrible. But actually, Barack Obama said that he wishes more of Congress were like Frank Underwood. Now, I think he said that early on. I don't know if he would publicly say that now. Maybe he would, because Frank Underwood, you know, spoiler alert, is a congressman in this TV show who, you know, has people murdered and murders them with his own hand to get his way. So apparently Barack Obama wishes more of the Democrats were like that.
And so you're saying it's realistic.
And the main character is the whip for the Democrats. So basically he's Nancy Pelosi, but he's played by Kevin Spacey. He's actually a lot more effective and interesting than Nancy Pelosi. She is, she's a tool. Let's talk about 3D printable, millable metal guns. What do you say? What's going on?
Yeah, Defense Distributed, Cody Wilson's group, has released actually two emails. Did you get those emails?
Yeah, I got one that was that there's going to be an October surprise about his Bitcoin Bitcoin washing software for, as he puts it, money laundering, automating money laundering. And then he's selling a programmable mill for making AR lowers for ghost guns. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Looks like a Mosin scope, Ben.
A Mosin scope.
Got a Mosin scope on your SKS, on your Franken SKS with modern accoutrement.
It is. I like my SKS. It's bulkier than an AK-47, but with longer barrel, it's actually easier to hold it on target.
Yeah. So you say.
It is a little clumsy, though, to handle. You know, an AK feels good in your hands, but the SKS is longer.
It scares people, too, for no reason.
Yeah, just the words AK-47, and they think, oh, no.
I mean, it scares gun people. I've actually twice shooting at a public range with an AK-47 in Wyoming. Once I had a guy walk over to me and say, an older guy, he walked over to me and said, I don't like those. I got shot at with those in Vietnam. And I'm like, you know, isn't it guns 101? Guns don't kill, people kill. You know, it's like that's it. My gun didn't shoot you with my rifle in Vietnam. I was 5 watching it on TV, man. Don't blame the gun.
Really?
Yeah. Don't blame the rifle. But, and then I had someone else just like pointing at it, and like I couldn't hear what they were saying. They were too far away, but they were at a range, like some, you know, kind of good old boy cowboy types. And they were like, I don't know what they were saying, but it was you could tell by the tone it was disparaging. You know, I think they were saying like, he's got one of them terrorist guns or something like that.
You must be a commie.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of, and they were shooting AR. Both these people were shooting ARs. And the thing is, that's kind of like saying let them eat cake. You know, I don't have the money to go out and buy a fully platformized tactical AR-15. You know, I have an AK-47. It's not a Chinese one. It didn't shoot at anybody in Vietnam. You know, it wasn't used to shoot. It's a Yugoslavian 70s one. It is the cutting edge of Serbo-Croatian technology.
Yeah, mine's Yugoslavian, my SKS. I bought that at a time when SKSs were selling for about $89 each.
Yeah.
And you can imagine in your mind, if you've got $1,000 to spend, you know, on a on an American 10, rifle.
You buy 15 SKSs instead of one AR.
Exactly.
And you know, and then you put them in PVC pipe and bury them in the hills of Appalachia and GPS put the GPS coordinates in an encrypted file somewhere.
So you've read my newsletter.
I am intrigued with your ideas and wish to subscribe to your newsletter. And, you know, just because someone has the cool, the tactical rifles doesn't mean they're smart. Let's go to Georgia for a moment. From BenStone.com, BenSwan.com, Georgia man suffers armed raid after cops confuse okra for pot. Now, we could just stop there, but I don't know. What'd you say about donuts?
Yeah, I can imagine the cops having a conversation. What is that? I don't know what it is, but it's not a donut. Must be dope.
Yeah, it's not a donut. It must be dope. Yeah, this guy had it was a helicopter flyover looking for pot, your tax dollars at work. And they showed up at his house with a raiding team and, you know, tactical AR-15s they probably don't know how to fire, and all the cool body armor and the canine unit. Scared the heck out of this guy because he's growing okra, which kind of looks like, I guess it could look like really rough, primitive pot with the wrong kind of leaves on it. But it has big, pretty flowers that look like morning glories. Pot doesn't have that. And here's the thing. They weren't sure what it was. They raided it. They took a sample of it. They used their government-issue iPads. I don't even have an iPad, but every cop's got an iPad now so he can get telephonic warrants. And they probably don't know how to do anything on it other than take a picture and get a telephonic warrant. But they sent a picture of this thing, you know, to their tech guys, and they were like, we're not able to identify it as of yet. It's Georgia! Who doesn't know what okra looks like? These people, these tax-feeding cops, grow up so removed from their own culture. They're basically feds from the day they're born, even if they're state cops, because if you live in Georgia and can't identify an okra plant by sight, you might as well live in New York City, boy. That's what I say. Come on, man. You got to tell me, like, not only none of the cops in this raiding party, but like none of the tech guys back at the lab could immediately identify okra on site.
And they're in Georgia.
Yeah,
in,
man.
Georgia.
It's like it's isn't that one of the staples of the economy there? It's certainly one of the food staples. I mean, it's gumbo, man, is okra and some kind of meat and anything else, basically.
Ugh. Yeah. You can't have Southern cooking without knowing soul food. You know, if you don't have okra, how are you going to have a decent soul food of any kind or Southern cooking of any kind?
I think these cops just eat at McDonald's and donut shops. I don't think they've ever had okra. It kind of reminds me of George Bush the first, when some reporter asked him how much a gallon of milk was, and he's like, I don't know, $20. Like, you know, he, I don't know if that was his answer, but he had no idea. Because he'd lived such this secluded government tax-fed lifestyle his whole life that he didn't know what the common man know. And, you know, any kind of police enforcement agency in an ethical world should be people from the area who understand the people from the area and understand and have lived like they live. They shouldn't be an elite class of armed goons who protect the state and don't protect people and go around hurting, like scaring the heck out of retired people. This guy was an older guy who's retired. Fortunately, they didn't shoot him or shoot his dog, as they so often do these days. But, you know, I mean, he might have thought it was, you know, an armed gang of non-government thugs coming to house jack him and pulled out his SKS and they would have killed him.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned earlier that the let them eat cake reference, and maybe people don't realize that that was an aspect of starting the French Revolution, was that the people were so poor that the way the story goes, and it may have never happened, it may be all propaganda, but the way the story goes,
but it's a good story.
Yeah, but the way the story goes, someone came to the Queen of France, who was Marie Antoinette. And said, the people are starving. They don't even have bread. And she just, off the top of her head, she thought, well, if they don't have bread, they could just eat cake. Because in her life of abundance, you know, being an heir to the Habsburg family and being the queen of, you know, of France, she couldn't, this is the storyline, she couldn't imagine not having anything that you just wished for. And so in her, you know, elite mind, it was like, well, they don't have bread, just have cake. And this infuriated the population when they were told this story, be it true or false. It's most likely, like you said, false.
Well, it could have been true. That's the point. It absolutely could have been true.
Yeah, yeah, because she was that detached from what the life that the actual peasants were having to live and the starvation that they were facing.
Because of the government.
Yeah, and that's what we're headed towards right here in this country is, you know, all it takes is a little bit of a financial burp in the market, and we're going to have people in serious condition if the welfare payments...
Well, one in six people in America are on food stamps right now. That's inordinate. I mean, for something that's supposed to be an emergency only temporary, you know, parachute to keep you from dying for a few weeks, which is what it was set up ostensibly for. And I believe there should be no government, and I believe private charity can take care of everything. But let's put on our minarchist hat for a minute and pretend we believe there should be very small government, because government does things wrong, so government should only do important things, which is what
that's the basic minarchist argument.
You know, we think the free market should take care of it, which means people. It doesn't mean some magic fairy dust. Oh, the free market will take care of it. You know, I think that when libertarians like us say, oh, without the government, the free market would build the roads. I think to statists who grew up in government school, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, I think that sounds like let them eat cake.
Yeah.
But it's not. There's sound financial advice behind this, and that could be another 80 episodes in a row. But yeah, man.
Yeah, the whole idea of government of the people and by the people, and not that it could actually work or exist, but that's the theory that, you know, that all government in America is based on.
Well, and it directly goes back to what happened after the French Revolution. And in fact, calling liberals left-wing and Republicans right-wing literally goes back to the seating arrangement in the French Parliament after the Revolution.
Correct. Yeah. That's how they seated there, the liberals on one side and the conservatives. And liberal being, they wanted more liberty, actually, in those days. That's what they called that. And conservative meaning that they wanted to
go back to having a queen, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which, you know, Republicans still kind of have that... that taint on them of, you know, that Republicans say, let them eat cake of poor people. And really, stop fighting the left-right battle, people. Just step out of it. You know, let it destroy itself. Get out of the way, man. It's a losing battle. And it's a fiction, too.
It really is. Government only exists if we believe in it. It's kind of like, you know, Santa Claus.
Yeah,
Santa Claus with the gun and a stick to thump you in the head.
Would it be neat if some, like, you know, we talk about that in 5 or 7 years government will be kind of like MySpace. It still has 300 million users, but no one's logged in 5 years. Wouldn't it be neat if that's what happened with government, is like in 20 years icons of the state get relegated to what Santa Claus is now? Like, you know, You would have a government goon with a plastic government gun around certain holidays in the mall, and that'd be the only place you'd see it.
Yeah, it would get down to where like less than 1% of the population vote, because the 99% don't believe that it'll work anymore.
You'd have DEA reenactors. they'd reenact the Battle of the Okra in Georgia. And it'd be really historically accurate. Like, you know, there'd be the two types. The ones who, yeah, if you get the story right and you have the clothes pretty close, it's good. But then there'd be the type who'd be like looking at this stitching on the inside of your fake bulletproof jacket and saying, oh, this has 7 stitches per centimeter. These actually had 9. I do not believe you.
And this is a reference to sort of a really geeky reference to both reenactors as far as like Civil War reenactors and also Renaissance Festival people.
Yep.
where you have these two camps where one just wants to go out there and have fun, and the other take it so seriously that they, you know, that every aspect has to be exactly
I like the
perfect.
Fun camp. I like the people who dress like King Arthur but have a lightsaber. Yeah.
Yeah, and Vulcaneers.
You know, one of the funniest comments I ever heard about rock and roll was I used to play at this bar called the Chatterbox in San Francisco. They had a lot of bands that my band was unique, but it had a lot of bands that sounded basically like Iggy and the Stooges. And my friend described them as like rock and roll reenactors. Like, they had the look and they had the sound, but they really weren't the right thing, you know? We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Yeah, back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah. Meow. So, this is Freedom Fiends. I'm not really ready to announce this yet. It's not really an announcement yet, but this week, the Freedom Fiends added 4 radio stations in Utah. We start on them on the 13th. They're going to be carrying us at night live. And that's pretty cool, man. The Fiends, that's the most stations we've ever had. We had 26 for a while, then we went back to 25. And now we're going to be up to 29 starting here pretty soon. That's pretty darn hip. I'm pretty psyched about that, man.
We're taking over the airwaves. We're just invading the airwaves.
Yeah, and I don't even have time to like call stations anymore. Basically, the stations we've added lately have been people that I've been calling for a year, and I call them once a month just to see what's up. You know, that's kind of how radio works. You know, I guess if you're Sean Hannity and you're basically a mouthpiece for the state, like Sean Hannity or Rush Beck or Glenn Limbaugh, and they are mouthpieces for the state, and I'm probably going to get kicked off some radio saying that. But I mean, they are. I agree with them when they say that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Actually, they never say that, but they would. They would agree with that. But that's actually what my 93-year-old dad says about Obama, and I agree 100%. It's kind of his like sweet way of, he wants to actually cuss, but he doesn't cuss, so he says Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And I tend to agree. But, yeah, man, there's more to it than that. When they say things like, well, we need to get Romney elected because he'll fix everything. You know, this guy named Jim Goad said it really well a bunch of years ago. Every election is just 2 millionaires arguing over who loves the common man more.
Yeah, that's really true.
Yeah.
Hey,
and we are capitalists. We like capitalism on here. We don't want to think, you know, that might have sounded like a socialist comment, but it is true. Every election is 2 millionaires arguing over who loves the common man more. So, but we like real capitalism, not corporatism, not crapitalism, not government controlled duopolies. We think there should be real free markets and everything. So what were you gonna say, Ben? You got something to say?
Yeah, I was gonna change the subject and say, Michael, what's the most American down home Western name that you can think of?
Cody Wilson,
that's right, like John Wayne Remington.
Cody's the perfect what's the word? Poster boy for this kind of new weird kind of liberty that he's kind of invented. He's kind of weird because he's an anarcho. I think he's a left libertarian. I don't even know what that is, but he's my kind of leftist because he's a leftist that believes in guns and believes anybody should be able to have them. I wouldn't call him a leftist. He is basically I don't want to try to put a label on the guy. We've had him on the show 4 or 5 times. If you want to go back and listen to his words, I think he explains it at one point. But more interesting is what he's actually doing. Cody Wilson is the guy who invented the printable gun, the Liberator, and disseminated the 3D CAD files on the internet so anybody with a 3D printer could print a 3D gun. Now, the thing was, the 3D gun that he made, It was basically a political move. It was theater, and it was great theater. But there's nobody in the world who's going to want to print one of those guns because they can't get a gun and use one of those guns to commit a crime. Because literally, anybody could make a zip gun in their garage better than the little single shot plastic 380 that he made that looks like, you know, a bleach bottle with a trigger on it. It's a brilliant thing that he did. But he's gotten into other things now. One is he's working on software for Bitcoin mixing, you know, for taking a bunch of Bitcoin transactions and obscuring the to and from, basically. So they're all mixed together and nobody can tell who actually spent what Bitcoin on what, which he says is software for instant, for automating money laundering. This guy's bold. I will say that. I told Lou about this new thing that Cody's got. And I said, have you heard about the new thing Cody Wilson has? And Lou Sanderfien said, no, but I already approve. And that kind of sums it up. And we're going to talk about he's selling milling devices for printing, for making 80% lowers into actual working rifles. When we get back on the Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Yeah, man. And these are not plastic one-shot bleach guns. These are like actual, you know, almost like what the cops
AR.
The cops who come for your okra and try to take it from your cold head dead hands are carrying. We'll be back in hour two of the Freedom Fiends.
They ain't taking my gumbo.
They'll get my gumbo when they pry it out of my cold, warm hands. Huh? What? All right.
Cold and warm.
Yeah.
You put some Cajun seasoning in there.
Hot, cold, running gumbo.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty Project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, hanging out with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, from Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. What's on your mind, Ben, on the Freedom Fiends?
Hey, Michael, I wanted to mention this again this hour. I mentioned it last hour. I was with my wife traveling around in the country solving mysteries with our dog in a van. And as we went through Mississippi in our RV yesterday, we were within the hearing range of 1240 AM WPBQ, and I had the extreme pleasure of listening to that channel, to that station, as we passed through Jackson, Mississippi. And I want to just say hi to all the folks in Mississippi that we passed through there. It was great to hear the radio station.
Cool, cool. And we talked about okra and rifles in the first section of this show. And they have okra and rifles and like them in Louisiana.
Kind of like guns and weed, but okra and rifles.
Okra and rifles.
The road to
minarchy. All right, so talk about Cody Wilson.
Sure.
You got the article up, or you just want to wing it?
I do.
All right.
I can do both, yeah. So here's the thing. Cody Wilson has this company called Defense Distributed, and they were very famous a while back that he was able to take a 3D printer and print a plastic gun. And there was all kinds of hoopla about that, both negative and positive. And there was, you know, there was good things and bad things about that. The whole point was not to make a gun so that people can go kill people. It was the point involved saying guns, technology has moved along and nothing can be regulated successfully by the government, much less guns. It's based on technology and what people want and what people are willing to pay for. Well, now he's taken this another step further and he is selling a milling machine, a computer-controlled milling machine, which is very different than a plastic 3D printer. But this is called a CNC milling machine. That stands for Computer Numerical Control. I know a lot about these. I've spent a lot of time in high-level machine shops that have had these for years and years and years. Most of them are room size down to, say, you know, the smallest ones I've ever seen were probably about the size of a big screen TV. And so it's not new technology. What's new about what Cody is doing is he has created one that is only about a foot cube. It's about a 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot that sits on a table, and it's extremely rigid, solid. It doesn't shake and rattle. It doesn't flex, and therefore it's able to cut at high precision levels to mill an existing 80% lower for an AR and finish the cut on that and make it a usable lower for an AR.
Explain now, what an 80% lower is.
Sure. So there's lots and lots of companies.
For the listeners who are in the cheap seats.
Yeah. There are lots and lots of companies that make 80% lowers. And 80% the lower is the bottom section of a rifle, the bottom body of the rifle. The barrel attaches to the top. The upper receiver attaches to the top. The stock then attaches to it. There's a lot of you still have to put the trigger mechanisms in and all. There's a lot, the slide. There's lots of parts that still need to be added. But the lower is essentially sort of the basement of the rifle. And then everything attaches to that. And it's perfectly
it's
legal.
The foundation. It's below the basement. Foundation. And it is, yeah. It's the only, a fully milled AR lower has a serial number, has to have a serial number on it by law, and you cannot mail order it. Like literally, if you're in a state that requires a background check for, to own a gun, you have to have a background check just to buy a fully milled AR lower. Everything else that you need to make a fully operational AR-15 or any other rifle, you can mail order in a lot
They're
of states.
Parts.
They're just parts. Yeah, and they don't have serial numbers on them. But the lower is the part that it kind of legally it is the gun, and you know it's kind of the guts of the bottom line foundation of the rifle. And people have figured out a loophole, which is basically they sell these online over the interwebs, not completely milled. Like they don't have all the holes drilled in them yet, and they're called 80% lowers. And you can order those. They don't have a serial number, and you can order those. But before this Cody Wilson device, you needed basically somebody with a machine shop and knowledge of using a machine shop. What Cody has done is he's built this cube that you can stick an 80% AR lower into, download, download, you know, the instructions, the
open source documents,
the thing that you program it with, and you just stick it in there, and an hour or two later, you have a fully functional 100% AR lower. He's calling it, he wants to trademark the name Ghost Gun, which is kind of funny because that's a phrase that was used by California lawmakers trying to outlaw the 80% lowers. You know, basically, all the time, lawmakers, who we say, one of our slogans on here is lawmakers are lawbreakers, because by definition, they're literally oppressing people and doing things that should be illegal. Every once in a while, which is every time they're in session, they decide that something must be done, and we're three laws from perfection, and think of the children. So there's, you know, California lawmakers that are trying to require putting a serial number on 80% lowers and, you know, registering them. And I think, wasn't it the governor of California vetoed that and said, and which is kind of weird because that guy's a big old statist, but he basically said, you know, that's not going to stop any crimes. Like he actually almost sounded like a minarchist for a second. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's Jerry Brown. Occasionally, he does bump into some logic. I've followed him over the years as he was governor the first time back in the 70s, and then again, because I have several relatives named Jerry Brown. So,
I know him from the Dead Kennedy song. I am Governor Jerry Brown, the one who smiles and never frowns. Soon I will be president. You know, it's California Uber Alles, which is basically Back when punk rockers actually just all kind of hated the government, even the Democrats, and were comparing Jerry Brown the first time he was governor. Now think about that. Dead Kennedys wrote this song in like 1978, and it would be relevant again. But then they actually did a remake of that song later called We've Got a Bigger Problem Now and made it about Ronald Reagan. Same music, different words. And Reagan was no friend to liberty.
No.
You know, he's the Jesus of conservatism. He is this mythical creature that people worship. I won't even say he's the Jesus, because Jesus probably, you know, as an actual person, was a good guy. Reagan, people are having very selective memory about him. He was not conservative. He raised taxes, he added gun laws, and he basically created the Taliban and Al-Qaeda by arming the Mujahideen over in the Middle East to fight the Russians.
You know, recently The Intercept had a story where they revealed that, you know, Obama, a lot of the conservatives are complaining that Obama keeps passing these things unilaterally by, you know, bypassing Congress and taking executive orders too far. But what they don't seem to realize, and this was exposed by The Intercept, is that the bulk of U.S. foreign surveillance operations are not governed by Congress, but by a 30-year-old executive order issued unilaterally by Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, and Reagan also put some things in place that would basically make it really easy to declare for a president to declare martial law.
Yeah.
Yeah, and basically put things in writing with executive order that allowed the NSA to expand to where it is now. So that guy is not a friend of freedom. That guy's not a friend of freedom, man. He was. And this is heresy to most conservatives, but it's absolutely true. Before he ran for governor of California and became the poster child for Republicans with selective memory, he was a Hollywood liberal, man. Reagan was an actor. He was literally a Hollywood liberal. There's a clip of him on YouTube. It's kind of funny. You know, they called him the great communicator. The only thing he was really good at was talking, and he was pretty good at talking. And there's an interview where someone asks him, the economy is bad. Now, think about that. This is, you know, in the 80s, the economy is bad. It hasn't changed a bit. The economy is bad, President Mr. Reagan. Do you take any responsibility for this? Everyone else seems to be passing the buck. And he said, well, I do take responsibility for this because for many years I was a Democrat, which is really funny, man, that he said that. It's a great, you know, great communicator kind of answer. But it's true, man. He was a Hollywood liberal until the Republican Party had John Wayne go over to his house and have a talk with him and said, we'll make you president. Here's your talking points. Do you want the job? And he's like, well, yes, it would be my greatest role yet, probably.
Yeah, he also supported and signed one of the first anti-gun laws in California.
Was that before or after he got shot?
That was before, when he was governor in 1968,
he outlawed open carry because he didn't like black people carrying guns.
Yeah,
because he was racist. And
that's true. That sounds horrible, but that's absolutely true. That's exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Cody Wilson has created this, or his company has created this CNC milling machine that you can pick up for about $1,200-$1,500, which is super cheap for a milling machine.
Yeah.
And it's stable, and anything that you can give it plans for that are around the size of, say, 6 inches by 2 inches by 3 inches, anything that's millable in that size in millable aluminum, it can mill for you if you have the software for it. And Defense Distributed by Cody Wilson has the software to mill an 80% lower AR into a fully functional lower AR.
Yeah, and I got to say, there's some unintended consequences going on here of nannies making this happen in a way. And, you know, I mean, I can't really say they caused it to happen, but they pushed Cody's hand because he was raising money originally for the printable gun on Kickstarter, and they kicked him off and refunded everyone's money. And then he had to, you know, go back to everyone and try to get them to donate it, and didn't get it all because they had some rule about, you know, you can't make guns, but he wasn't really making guns. He was making the software to make guns. But, so he says in this interview that he thought about, basically this is a fundraising thing. This machine's $1,200. They pre-sold 300 of them. So if they let him raise money on Kickstarter, he probably wouldn't be needing to do this. So there you go, nannies.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. So we're talking about Cody Wilson's latest venture, his CNC drilling machine for making rifle parts in your home, and how scared the normals are of this. So before we read some of these comments, Ben, tell me a little about your experiences. What do you have to bring to the table of how these machines actually work, and how accurate they are, and why this is revolutionary in a way?
Sure. I've been around machine shops and machine shop equipment literally since I was a little kid. My dad was an inventor and pretty much always had a mobile machine shop with him as we moved, or wherever we lived. He if he didn't have an actual shop set up, he had pretty much a basic shop in his garage. So
he traveled around the country with your wife, with his wife and his kids, drilling holes instead of solving mysteries.
Almost, yeah. But so I spent years and years in the aerospace industry, and a lot of that time is on the shop floor, you know, either talking to between machinists and engineers and trying to figure out what we were doing and so forth. So I've spent a lot of time around milling machines of different kinds. Basically, what you're talking about is a spinning bit, sort of like a drill bit, but they're generally not pointy on the end. You cut with the side of the surface instead of the pointy part. Anyway, so you have a spinning bit, and sometimes they're coated with different things to make them harder according to what you're cutting. And you have a 3D-shaped control over this bit so that you can move it around and bring it in and out or up and down. You can bring it under the item, or you can turn the item. If the bit is stationary, you can turn the item so that the item is, so that you can change the shape however you need to. And that's what a milling machine does, especially one of these computer-controlled milling machines like this.
And it's far more accurate than a 3D printer. And a 3D printer is an additive system.
Yeah.
This milling machine is a subtractive. It's taking away material, whereas a 3D printer is adding material. And it's far more accurate than a 3D printer.
Very correct. You start with essentially a lump of generally metal. It can be, in this case, Cody's is using aluminum, but you use a chunk of aluminum, and then it shapes that by cutting off the aluminum that you're
not
going to
need.
Well,
it's an aluminum alloy. It's not soft, you know, just pure aluminum. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's a specific blend. And, you know, reading over at the Daily Kos, where some of the most panicked people are explaining their fears about this, it really shows how little the general public knows about things in engineering and things in machine shops. It's kind of foreign to me to think, how do you not know these things? But then again, you know, I've spent my life being around that kind of stuff. So
read me some of the comments.
Okay, there's a lot of confusion between what is a 3D printer and what is a milling machine. So a lot of these are based on that misunderstanding that, you know, that you're still making it out of plastic. So one of them says, if you do it wrong, you'll blow your hand off, which is not the case. First off, a computer-controlled milling machine won't do it wrong.
and a 3D printer can do it wrong. Like a 3D printer, even if you have, you know, with the correct, you don't always get what you put in. You don't, you know, you can program it to do one thing, and just since it's molded plastic goo, it comes out different. You know, sometimes you have to do a bunch of different takes basically to get it right.
Yeah, the other thing that's confusing there is that the person doesn't evidently know that we're not talking about the firing chamber. We're not talking about where the explosion takes place in the rifle.
Yeah, it's where you the know, trigger the, control group goes, basically, and yeah, where everything yeah, else exactly. attaches to. Yeah.
So that guy says, if you do it wrong, you'll blow your hand off. The next guy says, and if you do it right, you'll blow your hand off by the third or fourth shot. Well, again, this shows absolutely no knowledge of the topic whatsoever. And then another guy says, so ATF declares 3D printing to be manufacturing, so the ATF is going to stand, so the ATF is not going to stand for unnumbered guns. So essentially what he's trying to say in his broken English is that the ATF will fix this by just declaring all 3D printers as manufacturing, and therefore they'll regulate it. Well, come on. If they decided that Saturn needed to be regulated, could they regulate Saturn? I mean, you don't have control. The government doesn't have the kind of control to do what this person thinks that they can do. And Cody Wilson is proving it. That's exactly what Cody's doing.
That's kind of his whole MO, too. He also takes advantage of, and I mean that in a good way, the molasses, the cold molasses speed at which legislation happens. Because I mean, the 3D printer is an old, the 3D printed gun is an old project that he's kind of handed off to other people and open sourced, and other people are making better ones now, and he's not even involved in it anymore. And they still are trying to figure out what to do with it and him legally. Like, you know, that was a couple years ago, so. Worms.
Because government's always behind the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Freedom Fiends. So I'm talking with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. I'm Michael Dean, Michael Fiend. And we're talking about Cody Wilson's new millable AR receivers, the device he's selling for doing that. This guy has cojones the size of Texas, I got to say that. And he really is the perfect poster boy for this brand of technological theater, I guess I would say. I mean, I got to say this, like, I don't have any other friends or I don't know anybody else who has been condemned by name on the floor of Congress. That is kind of hitting it out of the ballpark there, I think. So read some of these comments, these people wetting their bed at the thought of this technology existing, which I actually think is kind of tame technology. Like, nothing against Cody. I just think, like, I guess I have a further goalpost of what's outrageous than the liberals who read the HuffPo. But read some more of these. Oh, my God, the sky is falling and I don't understand this technology, so it must be regulated and the government will protect us. And to be fair, there are conservatives that don't like Cody Wilson either, and Glenn Beck is one of them. Glenn Beck had him on the show and was totally freaked out and, you know, called him the most dangerous man in America, and that was not a compliment. But, of course, Cody took it as one and, you know, added it to his press release. The most dangerous man in America, you know, quote from Glenn Beck. Which, you know, the first person I ever saw to use negative quotes as a bragging point was Abby Hoffman. The back of Steal This Book, they were like, instead of having blurbs from, oh, this book's great, he had blurbs from publishers who turned it down. And one was a publisher who said, this book will end free speech in America as we know it. All right, so go ahead and read some of these more bedwetty liberal comments about Cody Wilson's new system.
Yeah, and there's just pages of these things, too. It's really hilarious. One of them, another uninformed person who's more than willing to give out their uninformed opinion, says, Indeed, one can make fire. Notice how they start off with a very, like, I'm very intelligent. You can tell by the way I use my words. Indeed, one can make firearms with 3D printers, but they are more likely to harm those who use them than the intended victim. What do they call that? Yeah. What do they call that? Darwin's Law? Well, so first off, he's assuming that the only reason you would ever have a gun or use a gun is to harm a victim, which in reality, the vast majority of gun use is not harming a victim.
Cars kill far more people per year than guns. Should we outlaw cars?
And rocks have killed more people than bullets. Should we outlaw rocks? You know, another one says
More people die in pools every year, drowning in pools, than are shot.
Yeah, because water is the real danger here. Mm-hmm. Another one says, I can probably drive a couple miles to buy a better gun anyway. I don't understand the point. No, clearly this person doesn't understand the point. The point is not to obtain a gun. This is the only way we can obtain a gun. We got to get one from Cody. That's not the point. The point is that government cannot successfully control these things, that we're entering a new technological age.
And that's what that person said is not true everywhere. It's certainly not true in most of the world. In most of the world, you cannot buy an AR-15. And in a lot of states in America, in California, you could probably drive somewhere and get an AR-15, but you wouldn't be able to pick it up for 10 days. Yeah. So go ahead and talk. I think this is Cody Wilson calling.
Okay. And here's one more from somebody who is obviously a liberal-minded halfwit. He says, anyone who is going to spend $1,200 to buy a milling machine to make an AR-15 lower receiver has to be considered to have plans beyond personal use, since an entire AR-15 can be purchased for less than $300. Okay, I'll tell you what. Everybody who wants to contact me, Ben, at badquaker.com, selling an AR and an entire AR, functional AR, for $300. I will buy as many as you can get your hands on and get them to me at $300 each, because I can triple or quadruple my money, because the market for ARs is nowhere near $300. And that just proves how little this person actually knows about what they're talking about, which is almost always the case on the internet anyway. But the bigger premise here that this person has fallen into that's false is this assumption that the only reason that you would want to do this is if you have some evil plans beyond personal use. And it's amazing.
We're going to have Cody Wilson on here in a minute. I just sent the phone number to GCN Board Op, and GCN Board Op can get him on the phone. He's ready to do an interview, and just toss him on when you get him there, John. He's ready to go. And, we talked about this guy for an hour, and I'm like, wait, why don't we just get his words, you know? Why do we just conjecture what Cody Wilson's thinking when we could just get Cody Wilson online? So while we're waiting for John to get a hold of him, why don't you go ahead and read a couple more of these insane comments? And, John, just go ahead and break in if you get him on.
Okay. So let's see. That was a good one. Oh, another one says here let me find where this is. I ran out of the notes that I had copied and pasted. I have to actually scroll through the thing. I'll bet the old grease guns that fired 45 caliber ACP bullets are likely to be simple to build as well. Okay, and now this is a really good point. This is something Michael said a minute ago. You can essentially go in your garage and using the old 1940s plan for what was referred to as a grease gun, you can sit down and build a 45 caliber machine, a light machine gun. It's not really a machine gun, but it's like a machine pistol or whatever. But it's a 45 caliber, which is a pistol round, and you can build your own grease gun in your garage with basic parts that you either hammer out yourself or you buy at a hardware store, or you buy it through a metal supply. And you know, the main point in it being that Cody Wilson is not doing something that's never been available before. What he's doing is taking technology to the next step so that you can produce a quality thing. This AR-15 lower is going to be completely stable. It's going to be as good as any other AR-15 lower that you might buy, you know, with the magic stamp on it that says the government has approved it. And we all know that the government's magic stamp of approval doesn't mean anything. If you see your meat at the grocery store and it has the government's magic stamp of approval, that doesn't mean it doesn't have some kind of weird disease in it. That doesn't mean it's not going to, you know, just because it has a government stamp of approval doesn't cause the germs to suddenly run away from it because, oh, this has been inspected. Oh, we can't let the government see us.
It does kind of, does feel that way in a lot of status heads though, really. I think, you know, they don't look at a seal of approval from the government like the way they should, like, you know, a private organization has vetted this and has no vested interest in saying the wrong thing and just actually is approving it as, well, we've looked at this and, you know, the way things would work in the absence of government regulatory practices. I really think they look at it as a magic wand of the government is using laws to keep away germs because germs obey laws. And we know that nature doesn't obey laws, and what the government does all day long is denaturing things, literally. Like, denaturing alcohol came from putting poison into ethanol to be used as solvents during Prohibition, so you couldn't drink it. And of course people drank it anyway and got poison, and they actually put poison in – sometimes they would bust bootleggers, poison all their liquor, and then put it back on the market to kill people to try to teach them a lesson. So literally what governments do is denature nature. Hey, John, do we got Cody yet? Hello? Hello, hello, hello.
Another one of these people refers to the possible legal liability.
Hey, John, why, hang on a sec. John, we don't have Cody?
No, I just saw your email. I'm sorry.
Okay, can you call him, please? He's waiting to do an interview. All right, we'll have Cody Wilson on here for the last few minutes of the show. And yeah, so go on with denaturing government and how bad it is. Denaturing government.
Another one says, I wonder if he has any legal liability in the event that one of these homemade guns is used in a massacre.
I don't know. Do you have any legal liability if you buy a hammer and hit somebody over the head with it?
Yeah,
actually,
or
you
again,
probably
a
do
rock.
In America. Yeah.
Well, if I have a rock in my yard and you come to my yard and give me a dollar for my rock and then you take the rock across the street and throw it at somebody's window, I have no control over that. That's silly.
You know, the government would literally like to add enough government employees probably to catalog and regulate every rock in America and put a serial number on it.
Okay, he's on hold.
All right, go ahead and put him on. We got Cody Wilson, the printable gun, printable Bitcoin, printable AR-15 lowers here. Are you there, Cody?
Hey, Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah, man, we hear you. So we've been talking about your new project and conjecturing, but we'd rather hear it from you. What's the idea behind this new printable AR-15 box that you're selling?
The box is really just a CNC mill. Miniaturized with some good parts, but nothing new. The only element of surprise and anger and danger is just the fact that we say explicitly you can make a gun with it, which of course was always already true. You can see that the element that offends is that it directly speaks to the total state, hyper state, California Democrat mentality but guns can't be created outside of the all-seeing eye of a state. Well, yes, they can. And so we created a kind of nightmare scenario in our marketing video. And there you have it.
What's the... yeah, I mean, I've always thought that you come up with cool things that are kind of theater to scare congressmen. Is that accurate?
I mean, yeah, I'll go ahead and admit it, right? Now, this does what we say it will do. But that isn't unique. And that has been possible for many of years. I mean, we're going to give you the product, and we're going to support the product, and it'll do the thing. And the credible threat in the theater, right, they aren't good without having this kind of, if you will, reality backstop. But the point wasn't the reality. The point is to drive a stake right into the vampiric heart of the total state Democrat.
How long ago did you announce this, and what's the pushback been personally to you?
Oh, man. I announced it 3 days ago. We've done 500,000 in gross sales, and there's lots and lots of boxes that are going to be out there. Going to get hard to register all those guns, Michael.
Do you picture shipping them with no problem and people receiving them with no problem?
Yeah. In fact, a lot of the input costs on this months ago was up front on the legal stuff. I just wanted to get opinions from tons of legal people. Like, look, can we do it this way? Can we do it that way? What's our risk this way? And once we'd kind of got all of our bases covered, we began development. So I expect very little interruption. But then again, we know our friends like to just throw the chessboard anytime they're losing. So they could interfere anytime.
We'll be back in 5 minutes with our final segment. Hopefully Cody can stick around. Can you stick around, Cody?
I'll be here.
Cool, man. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Hang on, sir. This is Freedom Fiends. We're coming to you live from a windowless bunker. And our board op seems to have passed out, and we can't get a hold of him. So I have Cody Wilson here on speakerphone. Let's try this. Are you there, Cody?
I'm here. Thanks, man.
Cool.
We can make it work.
We can make it work. So what we're talking to Cody Wilson, the millable gun guy. He used to be the printable gun guy. Now he's the millable gun guy. So, Cody, what do conservatives think of this? What has the NRA chimed in? Are they afraid too?
I don't think there's an official position, but I think the NRA does officially support your ability to make homemade. I'm sure they don't officially support how I'm going about marketing this. But the NRA and I don't have any connections to speak of, so I can't really speak for what they. To this day, that they haven't really admitted my existence.
They often don't. I remember, they don't like to admit the more free side of gun ownership. Like, Wyoming passed some law that made it clearer that you could conceal carry and open carry without a permit in places where it was not forbidden. And the NRA had nothing to do with it, but jumped on the parade at the end, sent a, yes, we support this lawyer letter to the court, and then basically made it look like they made it happen, but didn't mention open carry. They were just like, "We have increased gun rights in Wyoming."
they've got their own, legislative affairs stuff to kind of rack up points for.
Yeah,
I'm more worried about groups like the National Shooting Sports Foundation or Federation. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah, they're kind of gun grabbers who want to be able to hunt deer, right?
Yeah, they're the literal industry lobby, as I understand it, and they don't give a rat's ass about whether you can make a gun or not. The liberty issue is just window dressing for these guys.
Yep, we are on radio. So could your device, your milling device, be used to mill other things like 1911s or shiny badges like police wear?
Yeah, exactly. So yes, it's just a general use mill, and we're creating a software agnostic control program and firmware for it. So you feed it anything you want. If it can understand the part file, it can make it. Now, Defense Distributed also develops gun software. So we're specifically developing and promising to develop AR-15, AR-10, and 1911 stuff. But you can do whatever you want with it, man.
How's your Bitcoin? What's your Bitcoin software called?
Oh, the dark wallet. You're talking about the dark wallet.
Yeah, how's that coming?
So that's being managed by a group of anarchists out in Spain. some real hardcore guys, like real hardcore, and Casa de Montaña and Amir Taki, these guys. I think it's going well. They're going to announce the beta in the next month, and that's really one of the only packages for people to use anonymous Bitcoin in the current environment.
Is it in beta or is it out? Is it working 100%?
Yeah, but the idea of when you say work, what that means is you really have to get into a lobby with other people using dark wallet. You all have to get on a join together. Quote unquote work. Now you can spend Bitcoin on it just like you can any other wallet, but if you don't take the anonymity steps, well then you're not anonymous.
But if you do take the steps, you are fully anonymous with it.
You are, yeah. You're as anonymous as possible in Bitcoin in the current state of things. So you know, with those provisos, yeah.
Spanish anarchists. That sounds like something Mr. Burns on The Simpsons would be upset about. The Spaniards are back in the pantry. Oh no.
Don't they have, they've got such a beautiful tradition of just civic disobedience, and you know, there's a, these guys are Catalonian, and the government will come in every now and then and try to repossess some of these famous squats, these famous anarchist squats, and the anarchists are so powerful there that they'll come back and take it back from the government. It's beautiful.
Yeah, wasn't that what that writer, the one that went down to Cuba a lot, the famous pugilistic American writer Hemingway, he was hanging out with Spanish anarchists back in the day, wasn't he?
You know, I don't remember with Hemingway. I remember Orwell, of course, was had stuff in Catalonia. But, you know, I'm not a big student of Hemingway, I regret to say.
So speaking of Orwell, what's next for you, and how is the state going to respond real quick, do you think?
No idea. I mean, you should expect that there will be a response. I just saw the ATF arrested a guy in California for selling 80% lowers on October 2nd.
Ugh.
And everyone was kind of murmuring when they sent it to me that could this be a coincidence? I mean, ATF strikes as soon as we announce Ghost Guns. But, you know, we're well insulated in terms of playing the game, doing the tea ceremony. But, you know, they're always capable of coming up with something, as we learned with Liberator and other things. So I'm expecting a number of responses, and we've prepared as many contingency plans and, like, possible restraining orders and other things as possible to keep us going.
Well, we're at the end of the show here, Cody Wilson. Best of luck to you. Stay free and keep it up, and thank you for your service, sir.
Hey, man, it was fun to come back. I'll talk again, man.
Anytime, brother. Take care. Bye.
Yep.
Worms.
Thank you, Michael.